Do keep that open as we study together this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Stu, one of the leaders here. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word together. Help us, God, by your Holy Spirit, to behold the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and be changed. Lord, shape us and mold us, refresh our hearts and renew our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our time in Mark's Gospel, and as we saw last week, Jesus is on the move, isn't he? He's on the move. He's come to usher in the kingdom. He's bringing people out of darkness and into his wonderful light. He's setting people free from sin and oppression and bringing new life, and he's on the move again today. And whilst on the move, he meets this poor man with leprosy. And what's interesting about this account is the time that Mark spends on this healing. Now, don't get me wrong, it's hardly an essay, is it? It's just six verses. But consider what's come before it. Mark takes just three verses to tell us about Jesus' baptism, where the voice of the Father and we see the Spirit descend, an incredible display of the triune God. Just three verses. Just two verses on his time in the wilderness where he's tempted by Satan. Or just three verses again to tell us of when the whole town turned up at Jesus' door and he healed many and he cast out many demons. Just three verses. So he's taken a long time here, isn't he? Twice the amount of time to tell us of this healing. He takes an age for Mark to tell this. But the question is why? Why does Mark slow down here for this one case of healing? And the answer to that lies in what we see of the man with leprosy and what we see in Jesus. What we see of the man with leprosy and what we see of Jesus. So let's have a look at the man with leprosy. And we first need to know what leprosy is. We thought a little bit about that already this morning, but leprosy was one of the most feared diseases to be afflicted by at the time. It came with many physical symptoms, starting with affecting the skin, and then the attacking of the nerve endings and killing off all sensation to the body. A leper could place their hands in boiling water and not feel a thing. Meaning like they were often disfigured through wounds not felt, or it's even been noted that vermin would chew on them in the places that they were living and they wouldn't feel a thing. Eyes would bleed, causing a person to go blind as skin and nerves failed. Often a person had the smell of infected ulcers, seeping wounds and gangrenous flesh that followed them. Now, I've never smelt that smell before, and I imagine maybe not most of us would have smelt that before, but the closest thing I can imagine is the green wheelie bin outside our house. It's the compost bin, right? And when the council in all their infinite wisdom said you couldn't put compostable bags anymore to contain that smell in that bin, it now just mixes and festers, and oh, the smell is awful, isn't it? And even when I hate taking that bin out, the smell is vile. And even if you get your bin clean, someone else hasn't got theirs cleaned, and so you just it stings the nostrils, and it's wretched, makes you heave. Hate it, all right? That's not it. That's not even close. It's not even close of those poor people. And this torture would go on for however long before it finally reached the lungs and eventually caused death. It was a horrible physical affliction. It was a horrible social isolation. Nobody wanted to go close to a leper because of the smell. Nobody wanted to go and even look upon a leper because it wasn't a pretty sight to behold. No one wanted to touch a leper out of fear of contaminating themselves. There's even spiritual separation, as Leviticus 13 tells us, that anyone with leprosy is ceremonial unclean, unable to go into the temple, unable to worship, unable to sacrifice. Had to live alone, had to live outside the community of God's people. We even felt it just sending somebody out the door, didn't we? Torn clothes and hair left to grow wild, and added to that even was poured on more by the religious leaders of the time, who went further than those restrictions, isolating them even more than what Leviticus 13 said. Leprosy was degrading, dehumanizing. Just imagine living with the overwhelming sense of worthlessness, of despair. One Jewish commentator of the time said, like, having leprosy is like being the living dead. And aren't you glad you turned up to church this morning to hear about this? Monty Python wrote a catchy little tune, "Always look on the bright side of life." But with leprosy, there's no bright side of life. And the sharp reality for us is that the Bible says that we're in the same place as the leper. Everything about this disease makes us recall the faces that you all just pulled when I was describing what leprosy is exactly how the Bible describes sin. It's exactly how we should feel about sin. God says that the stench of sin is so bad to him, it's as bad as a leper's smell in Isaiah 65. A putrid smoke that stings the nostrils and stains a person. Now, when I was at school, if you forgot your PE kit, you had to borrow some from the box. Now, the box was full of PE kits from bygone eras of school life. Never washed. Always seemed to be wet and caked with mud, even in the summer. It was a vile and the smell was awful. And as you pulled on this wet, muddy, stinking kit, and then you had to go out and try and do your best at sport, or the one time of the day where it wasn't in the classroom, and you could run about, ruined. As you pulled it off, you'd smell like that kit for the rest of the day, and not even Lynx Africa could cover that smell. The Bible reminds us regularly that sin is like a disease that makes us want to heave. Pride stinks, right? It's an awful odor that just rises up and it turns people's noses at you. Anger comes from the gut. It's like bile and bad breath as it goes out. Stinks. Whenever we sin, it's like we put on rancid, torn, worn, vile, smelling leper clothes. And we can't get rid of the stench. But more than just a stench and an isolating nature of sin, the Bible says sin is degrading, it's dehumanizing. Sin takes away from us what it actually is to be human. For we are made in the image of God, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are given all value and worth and dignity. Yet sin leads us to dark places, dark avenues of despair, and the feeling of worthlessness can creep in. Lies of "we have no value" can be told and believed. To walk in unrepentant sin is to be the living dead, Ephesians 2 says. For we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Unclean before the Lord and all of his holiness, under his wrath. The Bible tells us that sin is leprosy of the soul. And we can try and mask that smell with religion. And we can try and hide the effects through moral living. There's no bright side of living in spiritual leprosy. But there is good news. There is hope of a way out. For here is a man full of leprosy, living in isolation, living in torment. Here is a man fully aware that he's living in utter deadness. And yet in the midst of utter hopelessness comes the hope as good news reaches his ears. Somehow and in some way, this poor man has heard about Jesus. This poor man has heard that Jesus, the one who was baptized with the Father and the Holy Spirit, authenticating that he is the Messiah and the Son of God. This Jesus who spoke so boldly in the synagogue, this Jesus who with a word sends demons scurrying and sickness away. This Jesus who brings new life is on the move and he's passing by. And the kingdom of God is coming near. And this man knows religion ain't going to help him. The priest cast them out and put on ridiculous loads upon him. This man knows people couldn't help him. They all run away in fear as soon as he came close. This man knows he can't try and be a good person to sort it out either. This man knows he's got to go to Jesus. He's got to speak to Jesus. It's only Jesus who can save. And Mark tells us in such a matter-of-fact way, doesn't he, in verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him, begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But you just know it wasn't matter-of-fact, don't you? As the leper enters the scene and the smell filling up the area and the screams of panic of people not to be touched or infected shouting in the crowd, unclean, unclean! Between the fuss and the clamor, he drops to his knees before Jesus. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You know what's amazing is this man doesn't just want to be healed. He wants to be cleansed. Not just wanting the return of his physical body, but fully physical and socially and spiritually made whole by Jesus. If you're willing, make me clean. So what do we see in Jesus, verse 41? Jesus was indignant, or it might have a little mark there in some of your translations, says moved with compassion. And I think both are right. For Jesus in both those things shows us the heart of God and how he's moved to the core, literally moved from his guts as he looks upon this poor man. Jesus is indignant. He's full of anger. Why? Is it because this leper is breaking his exile? Is it because he's doing what he shouldn't do? Is it because he's made this area somehow unclean? No. Jesus is filled with a righteous and holy anger as he looks upon this man because of the suffering he's had to go through. Filled with a righteous anger because it's not the way things should be. Illness doesn't belong in his kingdom. And so he will get rid of it. And as Jesus looks upon the effects of sin in the world, the misery, the sickness, he's still indignant. As he ushers in his kingdom, when he comes again, he comes to make everything new. There'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow. He comes to make all things new, just as he makes this leper new. But for me, what's even more on display than his righteous anger at the effects of sin against the world is his compassion. When he looked upon this man who was ceremonial unclean, a man shunned by society, a man distance from the community of faith, where this poor man would have turned stomachs of others, Jesus' stomach was turned with compassion and love. Where we would run a mile, Jesus reaches out and touches him. He overflows with compassion and love. And what's interesting is that Jesus, just as before, could have so easily have just spoken and he would be cleansed. But rather, Jesus' love and compassion overflows as he reaches out and he touches what was unclean and he makes him clean. How long would it have been since this man had felt the touch of somebody else? How long would it have been since this man had been treated remotely human? Such is the love and compassion of Christ. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately eyes return to perfect sight, sores heal, sensations return to nerves as nerves burst into life again, disfigurements refigured, the toxic smell of death dissipated in the air in an instant as he breathes through uninfected lungs freely. From the walking dead, a life with no hope, feeling of no value, of no worth, and no dignity, with no social interactions, with spiritual isolation, now completely restored. Restored physically, restored humanity, free to walk and communicate with others, spiritually able to go back into the temple, meet with God. Completely and immediately cleansed by the love and the compassion and the power of God. And as we come to Jesus, with all of our mess, stinking of sin, smelling of deadness, knowing we're unclean, knowing we're spiritual lepers, as we hear the good news of Jesus saves, as we come on our knees before Jesus and ask, "Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me," for the first time or the thousandth time, Jesus looks upon us with the same compassion and he reaches out and he touches us and he cleanses us. But here's the thing, even though we have experienced the joy of sins forgiven, how often do we go rooting around in the garbage, in the green bin for the old stinking, vile, leper clothes and try and put them on one more time? You see, the Christian life is a life that's constantly in need of cleansing daily. And who does the text say that we get it from? The leper shows us, doesn't he? It's not from religion, it's not from priests, it's not from Jesus' mother or brothers or disciples, it's not from our friends, it's not from moral living, it's not special words, it's simply and meaningfully, wholeheartedly coming before Jesus upon his knees and saying, "Lord, cleanse me." Make me clean. It's wonderfully simple and immediately dramatic. Just like the leper, you will make us whole. what if I keep sinning? Sam Aubrey writes, there's always more grace in him than offense in us, more forgiveness in him than sin in us. We can't sully him. He can only purify us. However deep our mess goes, his holiness goes deeper. We will never exhaust it. Christian life is a battle against sin, but we must always remember, however big a mess we make of things, as the leper is cleansed, so too can we be cleansed by Jesus if we come to him. Such is the good news of Jesus. Such is the amazing grace of God. And so overwhelming, the love of God. What happens next? Verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a stern warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priests and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. As we close our study this morning, it's a curious way to finish, isn't it? Verse 43, Jesus sends him away. Verse 44, don't tell anyone about this. Who wouldn't? The man talks openly about it to everyone. And Jesus, who was freely on the move, suddenly has his movements restricted somewhat. What is Mark drawing us to? Well, firstly, I think there's a pragmatic reason for Jesus sending this man away. You know, Jesus has a high view of the law of Moses, doesn't he? He wrote it, so he has a high view of it. And so he sends this man away out of love for him, out of compassion for him. If you really want to fully re-enter in society, you would need to be pronounced clean by the priests to do so. You know, you couldn't just walk down the street and Bob says, hey, you're looking surprisingly well. What's happened to you? They wouldn't take it unless the priest had said it's all kosher, as it were. And Jesus didn't want to make this man to remain in social isolation, so he sent him away to do that. But secondly, and more wonderfully, I think that Mark shows us here is a picture of the heart and the mission of God. You see, God didn't stay distant from the need of humanity, but out of all compassion, he himself in the person of the Lord Jesus comes right down into our circumstances. And he trades places with us. You see, where the leper was once an outcast, he is now re-entered society and freely, verse 45 says, he's freely running around the streets and telling everyone. Whilst Jesus retreats to the outskirts, unable to enter the town freely. You see the switch that's happened there? See the trading places that ultimately will point forward to the greater trade that is going to happen on the cross. For the reason why we can be cleansed of our sins over and over again is that Jesus swapped places with us. Jesus will be the one who's dehumanized and degraded in our place as he's stripped and beaten and mocked and shunned. Jesus, who knew no sin, will bear the weight of all of our shame and our guilt and the stench of our sin on the cross. As people would point at him and say, unclean, cursed, as he's hoisted up there. At the cross, Christ took the full extent of our uncleanness unto himself. Every sin, every wound, every piece of brokenness, every piece of shame, everything. Christ took it all upon himself so we could be cleansed and freely run into his kingdom. That doesn't mean we'll never feel unclean again. Satan will tempt us to despair and tell us of the guilt within, but we have a place to look in the battle. We have a place to look in the battle of sin and of guilt, and upwards we see him there who made an end to all our sin. Because of sin, the Savior died, my sinful soul has been set free. For God the just is satisfied to look upon him and pardon me. Jesus' momentum to the cross to take our place loses no momentum here, even though the excitable man who's just been healed disobeys Jesus and runs and tells everyone. Why? Notice the end, verse 45, people still came to Jesus. From where? Everywhere. It's an interesting little track if you track chapter 1 that Mark shows us. In verse 34, the whole town came to Jesus. In verse 37, everyone's looking for Jesus. In verse 45, everyone's coming from everywhere to Jesus. There's no momentum stopped. And that momentum of Jesus is still growing and growing as people are still hearing the good news about Jesus, and ultimately people from everywhere and every nation and every tribe and every tongue and every language, every country, people living from the mansions up high to the street corners are hearing about Jesus. They're hearing he saves and they're coming to their knees before him. If you are willing, make me clean. And the same Jesus as we've beheld today, it's the same Jesus that saves today. Still overflowing with compassion. He's still bringing life. He's still bringing joy. He's still bringing peace. He's still bringing hope. He's still healing and making whole to all who would come to him. Let's pray. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who sees the spiritual leprosy in their lives, maybe for the first time, feels their hearts crying, unclean, unclean. Lord, may they know they can come to you who overflows with compassion and love and is willing to make them clean. And we pray for those family members we know, our friends, our work colleagues, our next door neighbors, those who live in Arbury and the surrounding neighborhood. Lord, we pray that you would help us to tell them of your good news. May your good news come to their ears, that they may turn to you to be cleansed. For only you can change the leper's spots and melt the hearts of stone. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. And we have a place to look. In the ongoing battle of sin and guilt and shame, Jesus, you paid it all. All to you we owe. We confess now, Lord, that our sin had left a crimson stain, but rejoice that you have washed it all white as snow. Amen.